You're listening to Free Radio Olympia, 91.9 FM Olympia. The views expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views of Free Radio Olympia. I've got a show this week consisting of some bits that originally aired all the way back in 2016, yet they're still relevant. Enjoy. Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day you turned on your radio and you were struck by the thunderbolt. Hello, Cascadia. It's time to wake up. Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids, the thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes. So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets. It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse. Though even the apocalypse is going to have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee.
Countdown for blast off. X minus 5, 4, 3, 2, X minus 1, fire.
Hey, kids. Welcome to the Thunderbolt for June 17th, 2016. Now I want to start this week's show off with some good news. There has emerged a possible counter tactic to drones. Yes, some folks at a Russian Middle Ages festival were engaged in a reenactment when one of the reenactors noticed a drone hovering overhead, filming them. Whereupon the reenactor took it out of the sky with a frigging spear. No say. You can watch it on YouTube. ISIS has already expressed interest in this cutting-edge technology. Next, I am most happy to announce that you can now soften your skin with the CIA. Now, as Thunderbolt listeners know, the CIA's budget is a state secret. What Thunderbolt listeners also know is that this doesn't really matter all that much, because the funding they receive from their secret government black budget represents only a tiny fraction of their total income. For like the Postal Service, the CIA is largely self-funded. And as to the method of that funding, I constantly have new listeners, and thus I often feel the need to revisit previous themes. So for the sake of you newbies, it is a thoroughly documented and easily verifiable fact that the CIA is the largest drug-dealing organization on the planet. You also need to keep in mind that all of this is in the context of the fact the illicit drugs represents a $2 trillion with a G per year industry. And thus it not only represents the biggest and the most profitable business on the entire world, but the proceeds from the illicit drug trade are under the table, untraceable, untaxed, secret dollars, which makes them much more valuable in some ways than normal on-the-books, tax-on-the-record dollars. So what this means is that the CIA is a central player in the most profitable business on the planet. And if you think the government allocation is a state secret, I dare anyone to try to look into the CIA's books for their drug-dealing operations. But it turns out that selling heroin is far from the only outside source of income for our intrepid spy agency. And it turns out that those busy little beavers over to the Spook Factory are multitaskers when it comes to generating illicit cash flows. For it turns out that a company called InQtel, InQtel, is very concerned about your skin texture and about unsightly skin blemishes. Now, this may seem unexceptional until you realize that InQtel is the venture capital arm of the CIA. Yes, I just said the venture capital arm of the CIA. For you see, it turns out that InQtel is investing in Skin Central Sciences. That's SKINCENTIAL. Now, Skin Central has developed a special patented technology to create a pin-like device to rub against the skin that removes a thin upper layer of skin in a painless manner. Now, this method can be used for diagnostic or medical purposes, such as the early detection of melanoma, for instance. But it can also be used for collecting DNA for potential identification purposes or for other less honorable purposes. And as Skin Central realized that their technology had cosmetic value, in addition to its less honorable virtues, the public-facing side of Skin Central developed a commercial product line called Clearista. C-L-E-A-R-I-S-T-A. And you can find Clearista advertised on social media, YouTube, and in O Magazine, amongst many other places. Soften your skin with the CIA. What will they think of next? I often refer to the machine as a metaphor for the combined institutions that attempt to control our world. Well, it turns out that literal machines may literally be about to take over our world. Well, that may sound like the opening line to a science fiction story, but there are some truly epic bedoodlies happening in techno world these days. And humanity, and hooray! Humanity's machines are about to gain truly epic, almost godlike powers. The problem with that is that I am convinced humanity needs to do some very serious growing up very quickly. before being allowed to play with such toys. Lest we unleash some truly epic cataclysms of truly epic proportions.
Machines, machines, they keep right on going. Machines, machines, they keep right on going. But I am weak. What I want to go on home. I'm too tired to speak. But they won't let me.
They already know how to code DNA to store information, which means they can now store a nearly infinite amount of information in a container that they can literally fit under their fingernail.
Machines.
They can already build machines that can both think and reproduce, just like humans. In addition to that, quantum computing is coming, and that is going to make our current computers seem Stone Age in comparison.
Need them to serve us. Machines, machines, we built them to serve us. But till the day when I'm buried in my grave.
Quantum computing will give computers nearly infinite computing power in addition to much more reasoning power, and it is conjectured that quantum computers will even have the ability to harbor intuitive attributes, just like humans. Once our machines gain the ability to reason, and thus question, combined with the ability to reproduce, so think about that for a minute. While I'm really good at anticipating and predicting the actions of politicians, I totally suck at anticipating what the hell the American boomer is going to start doing next. Well, this year, I'm not alone. The phenomenon of Trump and Sanders took nearly everyone, including me, completely by surprise. I not only completely failed to predict either the Trump or the Sanders phenomenon, in fact, but I specifically remember predicting early on that Trump was a flash in the pan and that the Republican nominee would probably be Jeb Bush. So when something happens in political world that everyone got wrong, I find it useful to look back and to try to find the few people who got it right from the beginning so that I can start paying more attention to them. So David K. Johnston was the only pundit I could find who confidently predicted that Trump was going to be a very big deal from the beginning. I haven't been able to find anyone that predicted that Bernie Sanders would be anything other than a little noted also-ran. And speaking of predicting politicians, one of the many soaring promises that Barack Obama made during his initial campaign for president was that he wanted to begin decommissioning the world's nuclear arsenal and eventually eliminate nuclear weapons altogether. Well, proving that he is consistent, if nothing else, our president is, of course, doing the complete opposite of what he so passionately promised back in 2008. And our president has set in motion a plan that will vastly expand our nuclear arsenal. And this plan will eventually cost over $1 trillion with a T dollars. In addition, Barack Obama just said that the civilian casualty rate resulting from his drone strikes are far less than during conventional warfare. Well, that is a fucking lie. The reason he can get away with saying such crap is because the United States always classifies everyone who is killed in a drone strike as an enemy combatant unless and until the dead person can prove that they weren't. They often have difficulty doing that since they're now dead. The Thunderbolt now wishes to indulge in pushing a metaphorical envelope well into the overstuffed phase by stating this. Sometimes our world resembles a wounded bassoon, wandering bewildered, woefully wondering what the Willy Wonka is going on around here. Then, sometimes an evil clarinet will sense weakness and vulnerability, and it will begin stalking the bassoon. Just as the bassoon manages to find her beat and get on her feet once again, she's assaulted from the rear by a muted coronet. Well, kids, these are the kind of things that happen to activists when they start making waves. Now, note that I have spoken extensively in the past about how the 1% uses philanthropic foundations and NGOs to control and manipulate us. Well, I just learned of another example of this tactic that affects me personally. For it turns out that Occupy Wall Street was partially funded by Adbusters. It turns out that Adbusters was partially funded by the Tides Foundation. It turns out that the Tides Foundation's $90 million budget is partially provided by the likes of the Rockefeller Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and George Soros. Which just proves that old adage, if you can't beat them, then just buy them. Or, perhaps, you can get them to shoot each other in a circular firing squad. Up until recently, I had a regular Real Change customer, and every week she would stop by and chat about world events for a minute whilst purchasing her newspaper. Then, one day, she informed me that there was a gun control rally happening at the state capitol. Whereupon, I informed her that that was one issue wherein I was on the other side. Now, this news very obviously shocked and upset her, and ever since that day, she has wordlessly walked by me without purchasing a newspaper and with barely a cursory greeting, if that. big news flash here, kids. I am not the enemy. In addition, infighting is counterproductive and stupid. If you are going to refuse to work with people unless they 100% agree with you on every single issue, then I think that you are likely to find yourself quite isolated in the end. We need to stop pointing our fingers at each other and start pointing them at the enemy, kids. I just had a great idea for a movie plot, and I want to go on the record here so that if anyone ever uses my idea, then maybe I can get some money out of the deal. So here is the plot. Have an FBI team target some disillusioned Muslim youth and encourage him to engage in some, quote, terrorist act so that they can subsequently bust him for it and get a lot of brownie points with their bosses and a bigger budget for the next fiscal year. Have them promise the kid that they will supply him with whatever he needs. Money, bombs, cars, moral support, whatever he needs. Just like they do in real life. Then, have the targeted youth go to yet another FBI office and tell them that some, quote, terrorists are trying to recruit him and that he would be willing to cooperate with the FBI in an operation to sting those mother friggers. Imagine the possibilities. Any time that anything happens that involves the mass murder of children, you can always count on the United Nations to take robust and vigorous action. That is, unless it is the United States or its allies that are conducting the said mass murder of children. The UN recently tried to condemn Saudi Arabia for mass murdering children in Yemen. Then, according to Kofi Annan, Saudi Arabia, in response, threatened not only to defund UN programs, but in addition, they even threatened to start discussions of a possible fatwa against the United Nations. Direct threats against the sovereignty of the United Nations. This is a direct affront to its duly constituted powers. This should be a call to arms. But the United Nations, of course, immediately reverted to its traditional stoneless state and backed off its condemnation until a UN investigation, an investigation that will be headed by a UN commission that is itself being headed by Saudi Arabia, investigates whether or not Saudi Arabia should be condemned for mass murdering children in Yemen with thoroughly nasty and illegal weapons. Sure that when Saudi Arabia investigates Saudi Arabia, then there will be no stones left unturned or otherwise. Multiple puns intended. And we're going to take a quick station break now. The Thunderbolt will be back in just a moment. And that's a promise, not a threat.
This program is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. If this program makes your head explode or causes emotional distress, or if you suddenly feel as if life suddenly isn't worth living anymore due to the things you learn on this program, then you should blame yourself for the fact that you're such a wimp that you let the world push you around in such a manner, rather than blaming the producers of some radio show, much less blaming the radio station that is airing the show. And you should maybe soon become a Zen master and or a used car salesman and or an astronaut or whatever, rather than trying to educate yourself about things that are simply going to twist your worldview into a pretzel, making your continued existence on this plane problematic. If you have useful suggestions, or if you wish to participate in a meaningful debate, then bring it on. But otherwise, if you aren't going to help, then please just shut up and get out of our way, so that we can do what needs to be done. Have a nice day.
Welcome to the Thunderbolt for July 1st, 2016. This week's Thunderbolt begins with a dire warning. Abandon hope, all ye who enter here, for you know that you can always count on the Thunderbolt to destroy all hope for the future. You're welcome, and I will not disappoint you this week. Are you ready? Let's go. Now, I have no degrees of any kind, much less any degrees in economics, yet for decades, I have always been right in my calls, while all the so-called experts have always been wrong. My trick is that I have learned who knows what they are talking about and who does not. Therefore, when I predict that we are about to experience another major economic crisis, probably next year, but the Obamas might share the same fate as George W. Bush, who was unable to hold his economic house of cards together long enough for him to be gone from the White House before it crashed. Then, considering all this, you should consider things very carefully. So here's what is happening now. The 1% has stolen almost everything. Therefore, no one else has any money to buy anything anymore. Since no one is buying anything anymore, then no one is making anything anymore, which means that there is no real wealth being created. The only wealth that has increased over the last decade came about because the central banks used their economic hocus-pocus and, like mythical alchemists from ages old, they created well over $20 trillion out of thin air. First, there was nothing. Then, there was over $20 trillion. Then, next, they literally gave every penny to the 1%ers at virtually zero, that's Z-E-R-O, percent interest. The result of this is that the 1%ers are now sitting on barrels full of cash, and they have almost no one left to exploit anymore. And thus, they have nowhere to put all these barrels full of cash. However, even as they are taking all of these trillions of dollars for free from the central banks, the looking glass quality of reality is launched into true bizarrehood by the fact that rather than paying out interest, some banks are now actually charging a fee for people to deposit their money in their banks. The stated hope for creating this fake $20 trillion was that the banksters would subsequently invest it in businesses to actually make things and create actual wealth, and thus create actual jobs, which would put money in people's pockets, and thus create demand for goods and services. And then, all the pigs would begin flying. Instead of investing in infrastructure or in improving the lot of humanity or any other useful purpose, one down, the banksters another town, one more, are instead downtown, giving away, but you never came back, using their fake dollars to chase other fake dollars all around the planet. Rather than investing in something that creates actual real wealth, as when someone takes a piece of wood and makes a chair out of it, for instance, they have lately instead been investing in government and private bonds that have a small but guaranteed return on investment. Well, maybe a guaranteed return on investment, because this has now created a bond bubble. And even that old and safe bond bubble is about to burst. The resultant crash is going to make the last economic downturn look mild by comparison, because they literally have nothing to back anything else up anymore. This is all likely to be followed by massive social unrest, demagogues rising to political power, scapegoating, reactionary political moves, the brutal oppression of certain stereotypes. Widespread wars, terror, murder, death, and destruction, and so on and so forth. You should sell your house, close your bank account, and invest in gold. You stand warned. Yes, I go on and on and on about the reality bubble in which the American public has been so systematically wrapped. And I do this because that bubble is killing us. No other demonstration illuminates that bubble better than the fact that Alan Dulles, that charming and charismatic head of the CIA, from 1953 to 1961, was directly responsible for causing more death, destruction, misery, chaos, and upheaval than even Adolf Hitler did. Yet most people have never even heard of him. And yes, I am fully aware of how outrageous that contention sounds, but David Talbot can prove it. If you only read one book this year, I would highly recommend The Devil's Chessboard by David Talbot. Now, I have maintained for years that Alan Dulles was also more responsible than any other single human for the creation and nurturing of the insane and murderous psychopathology that dominates the current American political meme. Well, Mr. Talbot's book provides a small mountain of further documentary proof of my contention. And it was not only foreign governments that Mr. Dulles overthrew. For it has been definitively proven that the Kennedy assassination could not have happened in the manner described in the Warren Commission report. And as Mr. Talbot so thoroughly documents in The Devil's Chessboard, it has been definitively proven that as a part of their endless and often successful plots to overthrow foreign governments during the 1950s, Alan Dulles used the CIA to develop and operate a worldwide assassination squad. It has been definitively proven that the CIA was directly involved in the failed Algiers putsch against Charles de Gaulle in April of 1961. And that when de Gaulle called Kennedy in outrage to demand an explanation, Kennedy was forced into the embarrassing position of having to tell de Gaulle that he knew absolutely nothing about it, but that he could not speak for his own intelligence agency. It has also been definitively proven that Alan Dulles lied to and then tried to blackmail John F. Kennedy into providing air support for the Bay of Pigs invasion of Cuba. An invasion that many feel Dulles wanted to fail, specifically so he could draw the United States directly into a full military invasion of Cuba. It has also been definitively proven that Kennedy was utterly outraged and fired Dulles as a result. It has also been definitively proven that in spite of his firing, Dulles continued to be intimately involved with CIA activities from his home. It has been definitively proven that all of the top hitters from Dulles' assassination squad, including its titular head, William Harvey, who flew in from Italy, all to assemble in Dallas immediately before the Kennedy assassination. In addition to all these other things that have been definitively proven, it has also been definitively proven that Dulles spent the next several days after the assassination at the CIA farm in Northern Virginia. Even though he had no official reason for being there. It has been definitively proven that Alan Dulles lobbied hard for a position on the Warren Commission. And that once there, he pretty much took over the entire operation. Most of the other members were congressmen, and Earl Warren was himself the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. Whereas Alan Dulles himself was technically unemployed at the time. And most of the very busy members of the Warren Commission were happy to let Mr. Dulles do most of the legwork. And there is much, much, much more. You really should read The Devil's Chessboard. Yes, there is no, quote, smoking gun directly linking Alan Dulles and the CIA to the Kennedy assassination. But Occam's razor has rarely been as sharp as it is in this case. I also learned a few more things from Mr. Talbot that I did not know before. I did not know that probably no one hated Alan Dulles more than his own wife and children, for instance. Now, this happens to be very common with psychopaths who cannot hide their psychopathology from their own families. For instance, no one hated Joseph Stalin more than the few members of his own family that he did not have killed or sent to the camps. Alan Dulles' wife, Clover Todd Dulles, was evidently a sensitive, emotional, and artistic type of person who had absolutely no business having anything to do with a monster like Alan Dulles, much less being married to him. At one point, Alan Dulles tried to have his wife committed as being insane, and he wanted Dr. Donald Cameron, who was the head doctor of the MK Ultra program at the time, he wanted to put this man in charge of his wife's care. Indeed, nothing can take care of people better than the MK Ultra CIA brainwashing program. And in another classical Stalinist type move, Mr. Dulles did have one of his own sons committed to the MK Ultra program. Just before Alan Dulles died, some friends came to visit him. They found Mr. Dulles incoherent and delirious, lying in his own feces and vomit in his bed. It would seem that his wife had just left him there to lie like that for several days. And so these friends subsequently took Alan Dulles to a hospital where he soon thereafter died. Reportedly of influenza complicated by pneumonia. Though you can never tell with these kind of people. Now, I would not wish hell even upon a man like Alan Dulles. But that mofo deserved a lot more than that. And on that note, we're going to end the news and commentary section for this week's show. I'm going to fill out the rest of the hour with some music. And I'm going to play some music that might be unfamiliar to you youngsters. This is Leon Russell.
I saw him standing on the corner. He got a real gun in the head. Hold on to my horse and shudder. Look at that.
Look at that.
You're the one.
Yonder.
Yeah.
say. But won't you sing it, children? Won't you come on and sing it, children? I didn't hear you.
Stranger in a Strange Land. Before that, we had Sweet Emily, and we started off that set with Young Blood. All those shows live from Leon Russell back in the early 70s sometime. So some of yous get six more minutes, but otherwise, we're done for this week. If you like what I'm doing here, kick a few dollars towards the radio station you're listening to it on. Hope to see you next week, but in the meanwhile...